Hey, hey! Welcome to the Art of Ministry podcast, a podcast about the Christian faith and the arts all over the world. Now, if you're listening to the show right now in March, you'll know that we're in the middle of Easter, where we look at Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the dead. Death could not hold him down. This is a truly special time of year. In Adelaide, we've just seen the Adelaide Festival and Fringe come and go, with artistic expression being extremely evident around the state, particularly the city, and some renowned Australian and international Christian bands like For King and Country coming through in Adelaide and also the rest of Australia. Now, in looking at art and all its representations, there's a very special area we haven't yet covered, and we're thrilled to bring this to you today. In this episode, we talk to the amazing Michelle, who is an art therapist. She takes us through her role, through the place of faith in what she does, and some amazing stories about her experiences. Just as a friendly precaution, please note that this episode contains a trigger warning, as it does have some content about people who are suicidal, about topics around mental health, anxiety, depression, trauma and loss, and also stories about people who are dying in a hospice environment. Some of this content may be distressing for some listeners. Michelle has some amazing words to share with us, and we felt so blessed to hear them. We hope and pray this show is a blessing to you, as it was for us, and also remember you can comment on our Facebook page and chat with us. We'd love to chat with you. Well, without further ado, welcome to the next episode of the Art of Ministry podcast. I'm John with my co-host Lockie, and today, Michelle, art therapist. Take it away, Lockie.
Yeah, Lord, thank you for, just allowing this to happen. Thank you for bringing Michelle into our space and giving us a chance to chat to her. Please guide what we talk about tonight. Get it into the right ears. Please, guide what we say and be here in this podcast. And we just pray that you'd be blessing us and you'd be watching over us. Be with each of us as the night goes on. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, welcome everyone to the Art of Ministry podcast, and we have a wonderful guest today. We have Michelle, and Michelle is an art therapist. Now, what is an art therapist? Well, that's one of the questions we're going to be asking her. So I'd like to ask Michelle, just as we start today, what is an art therapist?
An art therapist, hi. First of all, I should say hi. And lovely to be here. To answer your question, an art therapist is usually someone who's got training specifically in art therapy. And these days you need to have a master's of art therapy. I've got a grad dip, but it's becoming much more common, the career. So the standards are higher and you need a master's of art therapy. And it involves essentially helping people in a counselling context where you're using art to express and explore emotions and feelings and behaviours and perceptions and issues that people have. So the art becomes the form of expression. You're not just relying on words and verbal counselling. You're usually using an art form like music or fine arts or dance or something to express what's going on for you as a client. It's almost like a cross between psychology and art. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. So I guess a good example is if you have a refugee from Ghana or another country in Africa, some other country far away from us, and they've gone through trauma, and they come to Australia and their English is limited and they need to speak to someone about some of the traumatic issues that they've encountered. Sometimes you might have a child that uses, say they paint their emotions or paint the representation of how they're feeling, and then you facilitate discussion about that painting or artwork, and you don't read into it, you just elicit their take on it. And that becomes a springboard for discussion and healing.
So it's interesting. It sort of changes the question I was about to ask, because you sort of said that it is very much something that you have a specific degree in now. It was not something I heard talked about much. I don't remember that in the sort of career guides when I was looking through where to go with uni. And so I'm curious, what led you to this? Was this something that you were doing other things and you sort of fell into this, or is this something that you were invited to try or explore, or is it how did you end up deciding this was something that you wanted to get into and do?
Well, I was teaching in a school. I was teaching a class of grade threes, and they had a creative writing lesson every day. And I found that the writing was very ho-hum and on the weekend and last Saturday and this sort of thing. And I used many different tools and techniques to try and make it more interesting sentence beginnings, different words for said. I did everything I could. And one day, it was a Christian school, and one day I just felt that God was leading me to play Pachelbel's Canon, which is a piece of music which is really beautiful. And I thought it was a very conservative Christian school, and I thought, I don't think a one piece of music's going to be an issue. So what I did is I played this CD at the time or a tape, I can't remember, quite a long time ago, and played it to the class, and I said, listen to this music, and if you were to write or film a story that was to be made into a film, what would the story be about? And we discussed the music, and I said, look, let's talk about the music. How did you feel when you were listening to it? But we didn't go deep into it, because I said, I want your perceptions, your feelings about the music. And I said, can you hear, and there's different sort of sections in the music where it might go up or down or whatever, and we listened to it a few times, and I didn't say, oh, and this bit is going here and that bit's going there. I just sort of shared and talked about it with them. And then I had two students who, you know, I marked all the work, and I read two students' responses, and I was just in tears, because one student wrote about a personal family matter and really shared their heart about how they felt. And another one wrote about their grandparent dying. And both of these scenarios, you could envisage a film being made. Like this being the theme music, that's what I said. This was the theme music to a film that's been made from a story that you've written.
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness, the writing was incredible. And it just jettisoned a whole lot of, I don't know, in a lot of interest that the kids had in different ways of exploring writing. And I brought in all these herbs, and they were smelling all these herbs, and, you know, write about lavender. Was there anyone in your, you know, earlier in your life who the lavender sort of inspired, things makes you think of? And we had stories about grandmas and aunties and being lost in a lavender bush, and you know, when I brought paintings in, and they wrote in response to paintings, stories about the paintings. I brought food in, different types of food, and they were the days where you could do things like that quite easily. And then I was asked to be the creative writing teacher for the school, and I used to go around to classes, a lot of the classes, and teach poetry, and I loved it so much. And then I realised what's so interesting about this, and it was that you're engaging the senses, and you're expressing yourself by the written word, but you're being triggered by many different things.
Yeah.
And then I thought, what can I do that has the same effect, but as a career? And a friend told me about being an art therapist and what that involved, and I thought, that's just it. You know, I love art, I love music, I love the written word, and that's what I do today. I read poetry and stuff to people who are dying in the hospice. So, yeah.
It's interesting. Just in what you were saying, I can see why this would need to be such a specialised field of study, in that I can see the sort of the creativity and the use of art and what needs to go into that and the understanding you need to have behind that, but also like the way you're responding to it, the fact that you're kind of saying, I need not to put any of my own thoughts on what the kids are saying. I need to let them tell their own story. That sort of needs that psychologist's edge to it, you know.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, it is. And I actually was going to become a psychologist and then I ended up being a teacher. So yeah. I've sort of come back full circle. Mm.
Somehow you've landed somewhere halfway between.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Lockie.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned sort of doing this at a Christian school. And one of the things that's quite often a theme with guests we have on, when someone is someone who works in a very artistic field and also as a person of faith, then there's always a bit of a how much do the two cross over? And that ranges. So we've had, Ben Morton talking about the fact that Stone Table publishes a lot of Christians, but not explicitly a Christian publisher. And we've had actors come on and talking about keeping those ones not separate, but they don't explicitly do Christian stuff with their acting. But you do have people that have, had the chance to do art and they'll create comics for Christian events and things like that. I wonder in this, to what extent does spirituality come into play in what you do? Because that is one of those things that I imagine a number of kids that would be a part of who they are. So I'm just wondering to what extent your faith and the faith of, the people you're working with comes into play in what you're doing.
It really depends on the individual. My model is person-centered. So I'm a counsellor as well, and I try and be person-focused, person-centered. So if someone wants to express themselves in a Christian, from a Christian ethos or background, I'll happily do that. There's certain things that I, wouldn't probably feel comfortable doing. I guess things like, if someone was into New Age stuff and wanted to explore those sort of themes, I'm not really comfortable with that. If someone wanted to share about their faith, I mean, I have this all the time in the hospital, but it's in a verbal context. People will share about their faith and it may not be Christian faith, and they'll share that's bringing them comfort during this particular admission or stay, and, that's their journey. For the most part, I do art with patients currently who are dying and they're in the hospice, and it's more like legacy art. It's really not what you'd call art therapy. It's very therapeutic for the family. The patients are putting fingerprints on a plate, and there might be a tree that's painted on the plate already, and then the patient's putting fingerprints in different colours to represent leaves. And during that time of during the art session, they're telling me about their lives and their favourite colours, and, it can be a whole range of things. The family join in and that sort of thing. That's more of a therapeutic art space and legacy art. Where art therapy really comes into it, and I will answer your question, is that my friend Vicky and I, she's a social worker and I'm an art therapist. We run, and we have been doing so for 12 years, art therapy groups in the community with people in the local community right across. We've done Murray Bridge, all through Metro Adelaide, every suburb, all community centres, people who cannot afford therapy and who often don't meet NDIS criteria. And we have a whole range of people. And some of those people are Christian and they will let us know, like I went to church on the weekend, or I went to a youth group thing last night. This is with adults. And, they might share in the group, we're doing an art therapy activity, each of us are doing an art therapy activity all the same, and we're sort of like, it's very parabolic, it's very symbolic. Wow. You'll look at metaphors, and they might make something out of clay. Last week I did a session with Vicky and we looked at who has been a mentor to you in your life and how would you typify them as a vessel. So I mentioned Uncle Ted, who John.
Yeah.
Ted, a dear man called Ted, who was very, very influential in my life. And I said, if I was to make a vessel about him, I'd make a watering can. because he has just all the nutrients, the sea salt, all the water, all the beautiful things he's in, and the encouragement and Bible teaching and friendship over the years he's poured into me and my family. Now, that sounds really simplistic, but then we got the participants to think about who has been a mentor to them, and some of these people have been through really hard times. So they may not have very many people, but they did. They were able to think of people, and then towards the end of the series, so they're thinking about their own strengths. And then Vicky and I said, well, what would you be? What sort of vessel would you be considering your gifts? So some people have made over the years teapots because they want to be more hospitable. And these people are really, they have, find it really hard having people in their homes. They might be really anxious or stressed. They may feel that their home isn't worthy of visitation because it's messy, or, you know, they might not have many things. They might be from a refugee background and feel that they don't have enough, you know, furniture, or, you know, it's not just, oh, I'm going to be more hospitable. There's so many dimensions to that. Or I'm going to go out and be more friendly and say hello to my neighbours. Some people find it hard even to go to the letterbox because they've got that, you know, wanting to retreat inside and stay in there. So that's an example of a session we did on Monday, Vicky and I, with a group of women, and it was fantastic. And so much sharing about, you know, using the gifts that they've been given. And some people in that context may say, well, I'm a Christian and I believe I've been given a gift of playing music. And others might not be, and others might not be Christian. They might not have a faith, and they might just say, you know, I'd like to try and be more courageous and advocate for people who I'm friends with who need someone to go with them to appointments, and they might make a vessel that represents that. So that's an example of one, a session, and two, how I would respond to faith comments. If I'm seeing someone one-on-one and they are Christian and they make it very clear and they want to explore something and then they paint something and it's all about their faith in God or their struggles in their faith, that's fine. But I'm not only seeing people of faith. I see everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we say, so my main focus as an art therapist is actually group psychotherapy. That's my real passion. And I do work in the hospice with one-on-one and in families. But the real art therapy, the real ding, ding, epiphany moments happen in the group. You know, we have cross-fertilization, or what's the word? We have people finishing each other's sentences, people forming friendships, people witnessing. When I say witnessing, I mean seeing, journeying with others, saying, last week you said that, Sally, and now you're saying this, and we're journeying all together. And it's amazing. At the end of the 8 weeks, they don't want it to finish, but we do.
I was just going to say, and that's amazing what you've said. And actually, I'm just thinking, no, I'm not going to get out of my mind the vessel thing, thinking about what vessel that I might be now. I'm thinking about that all the time.
Yeah, we think of lots of interesting ideas, and some of them, see, that vessel is a biblical concept, isn't it?
Being a conduit.
And so some of the metaphors, you know, like, for example, some of my favourite Bible passages, I think of the tree. I use this all the time. The tree in Psalm 1, and I think Jeremiah 37, 34, talks about the tree being planted near a stream with the roots that go deep down, and in the storms and the windy times, the roots will stay totally, you know, entrenched holding on firm. And so it won't be, you know, like this, it'll be strong and stable. And I talk about that all the time. I may not refer to the Bible verse, but with Christian people I will. But I talk about what are they grounded in? What's keeping them grounded in life? And we'll draw a tree, we'll paint a tree. And I do get them to examine their beliefs. What are you believing about yourself? What are you believing about others? Yeah, I use that idea, that concept, which is from the Bible all the time. And also another favorite Bible passage, which I haven't used in a session, but which I love, is Job 38. It talks about how God's created so many things in this world. And, you know, that might be at the back of my mind sometimes when someone's done a beautiful creative painting or something. But with art therapy, it's not about the product so much as the process. So it's not, it's looking at the thing, you know, if that's a painting, we're looking at it, but we're also talking about the process. What was it like when you handled the clay and you used the clay?
Yeah.
You know, did it bring up emotions for you? Yes, you know, one guy once said to us that it reminded him of being a little boy playing in the mud and making mud pies.
Yeah.
And it took him back to his childhood and it was emotional. Yeah. We've had other people play with sand because we do a beach activity, and we've had people cry because they say, I haven't touched sand. You know, they're older. You know, they can't get down to the beach anymore because they've got, you know, wheelchairs or sticks or something, and they can't walk on the sand anymore. Mm. And they're holding the sand and it's falling between the hands. And they're teary. We had one guy teary once. So, yeah, it really the senses touch something in you, in me, yeah.
I'm sorry, but that is extraordinary what you're saying. Like, honestly, I'm just like blown away by everything you're saying right now.
This is my passion. Psychotherapy is my passion.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I was playing with kinetic sand, I remember, with Ethan or Asher, and I remember thinking, you know, it feels like sand, but it doesn't feel like sand either. It's an odd feeling of familiar, but it's different. So it's
yeah, and it can also work the other way, where it can bring memories that are not so helpful.
Yeah.
And then because Vicky's a social worker and I'm an art therapist and we're together in the group, one of us can take the person out and say, why are you feeling sad?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we were talking about gardens or something and we had flowers or something, or because I just thought of the only person who's ever shown me, I'm just making this up, right? Yeah. I'm making this up, guys. But my only person who ever showed me love in my life was Mum. And I always loved roses. And I smelt the rose that you had when we were about to paint it. And I've just lost it because it's reminding me of my mum who I lost last year. Mm. When the client might be bawling. And so it's the smell, it's the hearing, the music, it's the feeling the sand, it's all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that I was just thinking, obviously without, you know, going into any confidentiality sort of stuff, but do you find that there's a breakthrough moment with people? Does it look different for different people? Do you find
Sometimes people, it depends on the individual.
Yeah.
Some people are very tuned in. Like, you guys have already got straight away what I'm saying. Other people might think, oh, this is a bit crazy or left field or whatever. But usually by week four, we have an 8-week program and we do different things every time. It's never the same. But usually by week four, there's a connection that's been formed between the group participants. And when there's that synergy between people, that's where the magic happens, because it's not only their own perception, it's the others witnessing and seeing it for themselves. But we also say to them, don't project onto other people. You can ask questions about their artwork, but don't say, oh, I can see a such and such in that painting, that must mean you're feeling angry, you know. We find that people what's powerful is when they come to their own awareness of what's going on for them.
Yeah.
And it might happen a week after the session and they'll say to us, Michelle and Vic, I can't believe it. You know, I'm really starting to feel differently now. I'm feeling less anxious. That we have a story that we're allowed to share. We had a fantastic guy who was very down. He was extremely low, suicidal, and he was referred to our group. This is many years ago, about 8 years ago, and he made a lobster out of clay. He's given us permission to tell the story. He made a lobster out of clay, and he said he made it because he wanted to get out of the dark. You know how lobsters have sort of caves in the water. He wanted to come out and swim into the ocean where it was more light and get out of the cave. And he was a bigger man, and he was feeling encumbered by his physique and his problems and his heaviness in his life. Anyway, he started coming to our groups, and his work, we don't expect people to be really artistic because it's not all about the art, it's about expressing themselves. But this guy was amazing, and he said, I don't know where this has come from. I've never been able to be this artistic, and he was incredible. And then he went and saw his psychiatrist, and his psychiatrist said, what's happening for you? And he said, I'm sleeping every Thursday night, but no night. And it turned out to be when he was doing the art group. Anyway, he actually said that this art group saved his life.
Wow.
He's one of our biggest fans, and his name is Brian, and he's given us permission. We've made a short film about him. He's now a commissioned artist, and he goes and you know, he opens exhibitions, and he refuses to wear black. He only wears full clothes, and he's half his size, and no one ever said anything to him about his size. He just decided to go and go to the gym, he's just amazing.
Wow.
But that is a really, like, that's incredible story. But most people just at the end, they just love the togetherness, and they've often come from an isolated background of some kind, or anxiety or depression or, you know, something like that. And then by the end, hopefully they're ready to join another community group where they feel a bit more empowered. Sort of like trainer wheels.
Well, I mean, it's interesting when you talk about the different kinds of art. Do you have a preferred medium that you really like working with, or the one that you get a very good response from, or do you just have a range of things and it's pretty much just whatever the client responds to?
We all do the same activity in the group, so we think of, like, that vessel thing was a. I used to be a teacher, as you know, for 20 years, so I have a bit of that sort of. Like, we think, what would be really good for the group? What are we trying to elicit? What are we trying to help foster? We can't control anything, but we can come up with an activity where they're thinking something, or where they're forced to reassess something in their lives, and they only share to the level that they want to. They could make something, like, this could be something that they've made, and if they don't want to share, they don't have to. But they end up sharing inevitably most of the time. We basically use acrylic paint, watercolor, clay, collage, very basic things. Like, our first session is usually some form of collage where they're cutting or tearing bits of paper out of a magazine, and they're putting it in a special way according to the theme we've decided.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they go, I can't draw. Well, it's not about that, you know. So they're the main, so something with acrylics, sometimes it's on A3 paper, sometimes it's on a canvas, sometimes, lots of times we use natural things, like we might make a nest, you know, thinking of the people in their lives, and we make a nest. They make their own nest, and it's not like a three-year-old nest, it's, you know, really, they get to do it their own way, but we give them some ideas and they love it. Or we do witch-done weaving, where they might choose colours that represent different things in their lives and different seasons in their lives, and we might thread in phrases. You know, they can write on a piece of paper and then they thread it in. The pictures are so much stuff. It's my favourite. It's just amazing.
And it sounds like a big part of it is actually giving them permission to make a mess first, so they lose the fear of not doing it right, you know.
Yeah, these, I mean, like a, you know, 8-year-old kid could do our
I don't know if it sounds high-handed, but there's almost a message of grace just in that, of like, of, you know, the space to mess up.
Absolutely, because we want people to feel safe and nurtured. And some people come when we worked, Vicky and I used to work for an NGO, and we've had some people come with their support worker, and the support worker would leave because Vicky and I are already able to deal with most of the people.
Yeah.
And that person would just sit there like this.
Yeah.
And say, do you want to participate? No. Do you want a cup of tea? Yes, please. And then they'd have a cup of tea, and then after about maybe half an hour, they would had warmed up and they would have a go. And then the next time they might sit there for 10 minutes, and then after a while they're just coming and they want to keep coming. But we've never had a group. We've probably done 100 groups or more, like more than 100. Yeah, like, and they just say we want this to continue and we'd love to, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point
is
to get them feeling secure and a bit more confident so that they can go out into community.
Yeah, get them started on the road.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you mentioned a few Bible verses as well in just earlier, but is there one, I guess, that stands out to you that you often think about when you're doing art therapy?
Yeah, just that Jeremiah 29:11-13, which is a well-known verse. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for bad. And I know that, yeah, and I know that, you know, we do go through hard times, but I really feel called to this word. So, yeah, I feel that God's given me this passion to do this, and he knows the plans that he has for me and for others, and I can be a vessel, you know, conduit for him and to encourage other people, in their journey.
And one thing about that verse is it's actually coming from a really dark place in terms of, you know, when you look at the history of that verse, the Israelites are not in a great situation when that comes. So that is coming from a place of things are hard, but I've got your back, you know.
That's right, Lockie. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very privileged to be in this role.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for coming and chatting with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Lovely. I've loved it. It's been wonderful. I hope you can edit out all the weird bits.
No, it's fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's so lovely to see you both again.
We thank Michelle so much for being here with us for this podcast today. If this show has brought up any issues for you, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636 in Australia or your country's own counselling hotlines. You can also call in Australia Life FM Care Line on 4159 7040 between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. for prayer and a listening ear. We would also encourage you to speak to friends, family, your local church pastor or chaplain, or someone you trust. We look forward to bringing you the next show, and you also might want to know that in April, the Heartsong Music Festival is happening again. It's Saturday the 20th of April, and it's going to be in the same location, which is Hearts Mill, Mundy Street, Port Adelaide. Live original Christian music with food trucks, market stalls, ministry stalls, and also Ignite the Harvest Worship. That's in Adelaide, South Australia. To grab tickets, go to eventbrite.com.au/heart-song-festival-tickets-839-971-817-317. Navy Jones from our December 23 episode will be there, as will amazing interstate acts like River Movement. In the meantime, God bless and have an awesome rest of the Easter weekend. May the Lord give you peace, recuperation over the weekend, and great joy. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Numbers 6:24-26. Blessings from us. See you next time.